For our scripture reading, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll also be looking at Lord's Day 48 in just a few minutes, but first let's read our text from 1 Corinthians 15. As you may know, 1 Corinthians 15 is often called the Great Resurrection chapter. But we also here read of the kingship and reign and rule of Christ in 15 verse 20. So let's read at 1 Corinthians 15 starting at verse 20. That's found on page 1142. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet, but when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is exempted from for who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. And as far as reading here in 1 Corinthians, then let's turn the back of our songbooks to look at Lord's Day 48. And let's read the answer together. Lord's Day 48, that's found on page 895 in the back of our Red Trinity songbooks. By way of a reminder, we're in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, so we are nearly at the end of the catechism, and we're looking at the second petition. So Lord's Day 48, let's respond with the answer together. What does the second petition mean? Your kingdom come means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. And as far as reading in the catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have all heard of various reigns and rules, various nations and powers, where one nation claims to be the chief superpower, but we all know that these reigns come and go. All you need to look at is the kingdoms of Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Rome, on and on down to even the British Empire. Nations come and go. But what about these kings? And what kind of rule do they have? And what kind of authority do they have? What kind of kings are they? Well, just one example, you can think of King Charles, who is the earthly ruler of the British Empire. But King Charles is little more than a figurehead, a puppet. He has very little power. Although he is supposed to be the head of the Church of England and the ruler of the British monarchy, his power has been stripped away. So then, is the kingdom of heaven like this? And is the king of this kingdom little more than a puppet, little more than a figurehead? Is he a king in name only, or is he actually able to exercise all power, rule, and authority? What is this thing that we are praying for, this petition that we make in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come? Whose kingdom is it, and how is that kingdom manifested in the world in which we live? Even as John the Baptist promised, when Jesus Christ came, John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. Because Jesus the King was there. And as Jesus made his rule, his presence manifest, the kingdom of God was coming. But the king is no longer here. Does that mean that his kingdom is no longer present? The king is no longer present here on earth. Does that mean that his kingdom is no longer here? Well, today we are going to see that Jesus Christ is the king and he is reigning and ruling, and we are living in what is called the already and the not yet. Although we are enjoying the first fruits, the down payment of the reign and rule of Jesus Christ, we are still looking forward to and longing to the fullness of that kingdom to come. So it is we pray, your kingdom come. The kingdom of God refers to the benefits and glory connected to the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. And when that kingdom is come, Christ will return. And his reign and rule will be perfectly and fully manifested here on earth. But if I were to ask you, whose kingdom are you living for, how would you answer? Although we would rightly say, knowing that the right answer is, I'm not living for my own power, my own kingdom. I'm not trying to establish my own kingdom here on earth. The fact is, many of us function in our lives as if we were a child on the seashore, building castles in the sand. We are trying to establish our own kingdoms without little forethought, because the tide will come and wash all of our plans to nothing. If we are trying to establish our own kingdoms, we are little better than the child who thinks that their kingdoms, their castles in the sand, will last forever. So if you want your works to be established, if you want to be working for something that will endure, then you had better align yourself with the kingdom that is and the kingdom that is coming. Is it true that the glory of Christ and his kingdom is your greatest desire? Is it your chief desire? Is your life revolving around the things of this world? Is it the glory of your country, or your chief desire for low gas prices and savings rates to remain high? Or are you truly dedicated and pursuing and even praying for your kingdom to come? So today we are going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ has and will continue to bless his people with the coming of his kingdom. And that's what I really want to impress upon, as a congregation, impress upon you, is that as the kingdom of Christ comes, God's blessings come with it. As he established his kingdom here on earth, and as we pray for that kingdom to continue to manifest itself until Christ is all in all, there are blessings that we can eagerly look forward to and even enjoy in this life today, connected to being a citizen in that kingdom. We begin then in our first point by looking at when and how Christ's kingdom was established. It is true that God has always been king. This remains our Father's world. He is the sovereign one over all. We sing that beloved song, "This is my Father's world." God is and remains the sovereign one. Psalm 22 verse 28 says, "Dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over all nations." But something happened at the fall where the kingdom of God and the kingdom, or the dwelling of man, could no longer be in the same place. Because of man's rebellion, man was kicked out of the kingdom of God, as it were, expelled from the Garden of Eden. No longer could there be close fellowship between God and man. The kingdom was divided, as it were. No longer could man have close fellowship with God because of his wickedness. The created state of glory where man dwelled in the kingdom of God was lost but not forgotten. For God and man will dwell together again, but when and where? The answer is in God's kingdom. A passage we read earlier in Psalm 110, where we find the Father promising to send a ruler, to send the Lord. The Lord who had come forth from mankind, who had come and sit on David's throne, who would have that scepter of power between his feet, who would receive the inheritance of the nations, one who would rule over the earth. This kingship was promised to David, where it was told to David, your son will sit on your throne. But David's sons came and went. But the promise remains. There will be a righteous son of David who will sit on David's throne and whose kingdom will be established. And it is this kingdom that will have no end. When Jesus was anointed at his baptism to be the one who would be the Messiah, the one who would be not only a priest and a prophet, but also a king, Jesus was being identified by the Father. This is the one through whom I will bring my kingdom. I will restore what was lost at the fall. Where that kingdom that was fractured and divided, where man could not dwell in my presence because of their sin, that will be undone and there will be a restoration where the kingdom would be populated by people and God would dwell with man. The kingdom of God was established at the coming of Christ, and this king, Jesus Christ, takes his seat, takes his position at the right hand of the Father in glory at his ascension. One way of looking at the ascension of Jesus Christ is as if Jesus was being coronated. It was the gates were lifting up their head. The King of Glory was coming into his throne room. But how does Christ manifest his kingdom? Well, we read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, where Jesus Christ and his resurrection was said to be the first fruit. The first fruit of what? The first fruit of a new humanity. The first fruit of a new kingdom. A kingdom of priests is going to be raised up from humanity. And Jesus Christ is the first fruit, is the down payment. We could say that one of the ways in which people are brought into the kingdom is when they are resurrected. How are people who are born in sin and misery brought into the kingdom? It's by their being born again. Born not in the kingdom of the first man, Adam, but born again to be in the kingdom of the second man, Jesus Christ. It is this resurrected and glorified king, as 1 Corinthians 15, 23 says, who continues to reign. Well, who is this one who is reigning from the right hand of his Father? It is none other than Jesus Christ. In what way is Christ reigning? He is reigning in that he is manifesting his glorious resurrection power in the gathering of the people and the saving of the lost sheep. So when we are praying for the kingdom to come, we are praying for the reign and rule of Christ to manifest itself in this world. Confessing that the kingdom is here because Christ has come and has done, has started, has begun his work here. And we pray as we look to the future, continue to do this work. Thus, the kingdom cannot always be seen with our eyes of the flesh, but we see it with a heart of faith. We see the continued establishment of the kingdom and the gathering of God's people. So then we move on to our second point by looking at how Christ's kingdom manifests itself today. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, we find that in Adam all die, but in Christ we are made alive. The kingdom of God is not some remote principle that we have to wait for the future to receive. It is something which has broken into the present day. It is something that affects us here and now. The first way in which the kingdom of Christ is seen today is seen in how we are changed, how we are brought from death to life. It's how we are brought into the kingdom, given a new heart. Taken from the kingdom of darkness and the reign of the devil and grafted into Christ. As verse 25 states, he must reign. He must reign until all that has been promised comes to fulfillment. Well, what is the work that Christ is doing? He is gathering his people. It is the salvation of his people, the glorification of his saints. And he begins this work and he continues this work, as our catechism says. He continues to do this work until all of his enemies are dealt with and all of his people are gathered. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Destroy the kingdom of darkness. Bring it to nothing and gather your people. Rule us by your word and spirit. Preserve us and gather us. So when we are praying in question answer 123, we are making it very clear that our heart's desire is that the reign of Christ would manifest itself here, today, and now. The first circle is right here in our own hearts. This prayer, your kingdom come, we are asking Christ, the resurrected, glorified King of Kings who sits at the right hand of the Father, to make me a good kingdom citizen today. Sanctify me, rule over me, so that I follow in your way. How are the kingdom citizens known? By their obedience to his commands. By their love for the king. Even as Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So conform me, change me, make me a good kingdom citizen, so that when people look at me, they see Jesus and his reign. But more than that, we are praying that the enemies would be dealt with, that the kingdom of darkness, that all false teaching would be exposed and would be reduced to rubble. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force that revolts against you. So bring Satan and his kingdom to nothing. And gather those who are lost. Preserve and increase your church. When we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying not only that I would be a good kingdom citizen, but that you would make everyone a good kingdom citizen. That you would do the work through the ministry of the word and the sending out of missionaries and pastors into the world to gather the lost sheep, preserve and increase the church. Govern me, yes and amen, but make others into good citizens as well. Make your kingdom strong and secure, and expand your kingdom so that those who are outside would be brought in as well. Not only make me a good citizen, but gather others into the fold, making disciples of all nations to be a kingdom of priests. The way in which the kingdom of God is seen in this life is in the sanctification of his people and the gathering of the lost. How does Jesus Christ build his kingdom here on earth? It's through the means of grace. How does Jesus gather his people? Through the preaching of the word. How does he strengthen his citizens? How does he conform his citizens to be good and faithful, obedient citizens? Through the preaching of the word and the sacraments. That's how Jesus Christ is ruling, is making his kingdom known. It's not just something that is far off, something that we have to wait for. We'll see that in our next point. But it's something that is here and present today. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for very concrete changes in us. Because it is our heart's desire, we want to be a good citizen. Because we know what our king has done for us. Because we love the king, we want to be good citizens. I made this point to Jeremy this past week with his ordination service, that preachers have a twofold task, is to protect and defend, but also promote and extend. So protect and defend, yes, protect, defend your church, but also extend, promote, go to the world. Because the kingdom is not yet complete. It is not yet complete until all of us who belong to him are fully sanctified and all of those who are out there are gathered in. This prayer that we pray, your kingdom come, is a prayer that looks forward to. Even John said this, John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. Help everyone, help me, help everyone to see the glory of the King and to be consistent in our obedience to him. Well, now that we have prayed for the particular change in the current life today, now, in our final point, we look forward. How does this particular petition look forward? The kingdom of God will be most fully seen when Christ returns. At that time, the benefits and blessings secured by Christ will then be manifested most evidently and fully, perfectly in this world. Here again, we see it in two particular ways. It is seen not only in the blessings that the church will enjoy, but it's also in the destruction of all of his enemies. So we say, preserve and increase your church, destroy the devil's work, destroy every force which revolts against you, and every conspiracy against your holy word. When Jesus Christ comes back on that last day and sits on that great white throne, judging the living and the dead, he will finally, as a king, bring to an end everything and everyone that rejects against him. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. So the devil and the fallen angels and reprobate man and even false teaching will be fully exposed by the light of his word. And they will be put under his feet, put in subjection, in submission to him. Now, we are seeing it in part in this life as the kingdom continues to go out and change hearts. But then every single enemy will be placed under his feet as a footstool. And he will crush the serpent's head finally and completely. But for those who belong to Christ, and those who look forward to his appearing, there will be the great and glorious, joyful resurrection and reunion within the kingdom. The time will come when God will bring heaven to come down, that heavenly Jerusalem will come down, and what will be established here on earth is literally the kingdom of God. What was lost in the garden where man rebelled against God and had to be separated from the presence of God will then find a completion, a fulfillment in the new heaven and earth because this world will be filled, covered with the knowledge of God and his word. God, our King, will dwell with man, Revelation 21 puts it. Our own question and answer concludes, question answer 123 concludes this way, do all this until your kingdom fully comes when you will be all in all. So continue to sanctify your people, continue to gather the lost, continue to destroy the works of the devil, continue to expose the teaching of darkness until that great and final day. The time is coming when the King will return to the earth. And the kingdom of God will be complete and God will be all in all. So we pray until this happens. Your kingdom come is a temporary prayer. It is a prayer that we make by faith. It is a prayer we make with confidence because it will surely come to be. We are asking for that which has been promised. Your kingdom come is asking for what God has promised to do. We're asking for Jesus to come back and to fulfill his work. As 1 Corinthians 15:28 puts it, when every foe has been vanquished, every enemy conquered, the kingdom of Christ will be turned over to the Father so that God may be all in all. What will happen on that final day is after all of Christ's enemies are defeated and routed and cast out into the bottomless pit, all of God's people are raised, born, they're resurrected, glorified, made like Christ, then Christ will hand the kingdom back to the Father. The Son will return all to God from whom he received it. The Son who received every name will now return that honor to his Father. And the rule of the kingdom will be complete. And God will be all in all. So the Son will submit himself, as it were, and his kingdom into the hands of the Heavenly Father. And God's supremacy, his authority, will clearly be seen and established, and all will enjoy it for all eternity. This, brothers and sisters, is the source of our comfort. You see, what happened at creation, when man fell in the fall, is that God dwelling with man, God dwelling in the presence of men, where God could walk with man in the cool of the garden, we could enjoy the blessings of being in God's presence without fear, without any conflict, that was lost. So then God the Father sends his Son to return, to restore, to bring man back into that blessed position, into that blessed fellowship. And when that is complete, the Son will then return the kingdom to his Heavenly Father. And we will enjoy the blessings of unending and unhindered fellowship for all eternity. This is comfort. This is good news. This is something to look forward to. That what God is doing today, here and now, will find its completion. And we will enjoy it in a world without end. So are you looking forward to that kingdom? Are you praying for that kingdom to come? What are you working for? Whose kingdom are you establishing? Your own? Do you work for your own glory, your own name, your earthly kingdom, your reputation? Or God's kingdom, his glory and his honor? This earth will be filled with the knowledge of our God. This earth will be his kingdom. So it's that which moves us to pray, your kingdom come. To conclude, we must remember that the ultimate goal of the kingdom is God's glory. This glory is most manifest and clearly seen in the salvation of his people, the sanctification of the church, and the gathering of the lost. This, the coming of the kingdom, is the work of Jesus Christ. When the last kingdom citizen is gathered, the specific saving work will then be complete, and the Son will hand everything back to the Father to remain there for all eternity. Here in the new heaven and new earth, the kingdom of God's people, we're a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, will dwell in the presence of our God for all eternity. It is here that they will find lasting peace and comfort. No more weeping, no more tears, no more sadness. There will be no hunger. The goal of God's work through Christ is the dwelling of God with man and his kingdom returned and established on earth once again. As our theme states, Jesus Christ has and will richly bless his people with the coming of his kingdom. So may we continue to desire, may we continue to long, may we continue to look forward to that great and glorious day as we continue to pray, your kingdom come. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that we are made to be citizens in the kingdom, that our life is not about making a name for ourselves. It's not about establishing our own authority or power or honor, but it is all about acknowledging your honor and glory and power. So may we be faithful citizens in the kingdom. Conform us into the image of Christ. And may we long with eager expectation until the day when your kingdom comes and you, our God, are all in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.